Amina and Fareed, uncut, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right, so it's happening. It's actually
going
fucking
down.
Happening.
It is.
This is Amina and Fareed Raw.
What? We said we're going to call it uncensored.
Oh, okay. Unprotected.
Anyway, Are we starting?
Let's just ramble and see where we go.
Okay.
So the reason we're doing this is because we talk about a lot of shit
off air
that I think is often, we're not giving our listener what they really deserve. The adult listeners, that is. Of course, this is nowhere near appropriate for children. Let's be honest with each other.
Or for a lot of people.
Yeah, or for a lot of people.
And this is not going to be everyone's cup of tea, and we're fine, and we're okay with it, but you can, you know, listen and follow and just hate in the comment section, which is great.
Or you can fuck right off. You know?
Oh, my. Which is also great, because we could cuss on this on our podcast. So, Amina and Fareed, finally, we're going to just be ranting away. Now, We were very upset. One of the things that we were really upset about is the coronavirus. As we're talking about the coronavirus, then we hear there's an imminent terror attack. And we're just like, what is happening in our country?
It's frightening when you think about it. So we've got politicians who start shooting people and think that's okay.
Yeah.
And then
no, they don't think that's okay. They think it's okay to just pay the bill.
Yeah, then the justification is, but I'm paying his medical bill. You know, I think I'd rather not get fucking shot in the neck and then not have you pay my medical bill.
Also.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah,
you know
that would
what
be
I mean?
That in an ideal world.
I would want that.
Yeah.
I would prefer that.
Yeah.
As opposed to you think. And you know, you could see the impunity, even in the video, through the video, you could just see the recklessness with which he, one, was handling the gun, and then just how he, like, he was nothing.
No,
like, he shot that DJ like
even,
he was...
It's kind of like the way I let people cross the road when I'm driving, you know? Like, okay, go. You know when you're driving and there's, like, people waiting and you feel like a hero because...
You feel like you're it's a favor.
Like, no one else is fucking stopped, but
you know?
Have. You know what I mean?
So,
and you sort of wave them by like you're a royalty.
You want to open the window.
That's kind of how he made the gun, though.
You want to open the window and be like, I am letting everyone pass.
I'm letting everyone know.
Even when
I'm a man of good moral stature.
In fact, when I allow people to, like, cut me off in traffic, I feel like I've done something. This is like, I didn't fight with you. This is great. This is we look like we're, and I want you to see, I am the hero in this situation.
It's like when you stop to give the beggar on the road 550 bob.
Yeah, and you know, feel like you've bought them a house.
You can only do it if there's a lot of traffic behind you.
Update.
You know what I mean? I kind of kicked off this whole, we've been talking about this podcast for a while. And then when this whole Club Bubba Wino shooting thing happened, we're just like, we gotta find an outlet to get rid of our fucking anger and aggression, because I'm getting really fucked off with this country. You know
it's
what I mean?
Actually, just
and
you.
The shit that happens. No, I'm serious.
That's a lot of aggression.
No, but you know, we and then we're expected to be on radio, and you got to kind of be like, okay, how do we, you know, let's cool our tempers a little bit. Let's not say too much. You don't want to piss too many people off.
But isn't it so? It's so, because this happens. So people go through this where they're. It's almost like you're faced with this conundrum where you really want to make money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to pay bills.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we also are faced with this moral, I think, dilemma of calling out, whether it's the government or calling out, you know, policymakers and certain politicians, telling them, excuse me, what you're doing is wrong. And I feel like we take on so much in stride that I imagine that's where they got the confidence to be so callous enough to allow 239 passengers into a country, because they knew, what are they going to do? They're going to talk about it on Twitter. It's going to be a hashtag
Freedom
for about a week or 2 weeks.
You're
going to talk about
it
1 or 2 days. Who's going to care? No one's going to give a fuck, because in the next 2-3 weeks, we're going to move on to something else.
It's actually very interesting you put it that way. Were 239 Chinese passengers allowed to land at JKIA? Because 47 million Kenyans will forget about it in 24 hours or 48 hours and find something else to bitch and moan about.
But also, isn't it so concerning that... So at what level do you stop and say, okay, now this is going to jeopardize the lives of our people? When you're putting their lives in danger, is that not also... I mean, how do you sleep at night knowing that the whole world is talking about this? It's a global crisis. It's not discriminatory. We're not saying if you're Chinese, don't come to our country because you're Chinese. We're not saying that. We're just saying if you come from the epicenter of one of the biggest threats to humanity in the recent past, you should give it some thought if you allow that plane with that number of people to come into our country. And think about it this way. We don't even have the resources to handle more than 11 people because we have 11 beds.
Here's a question I have for you, right?
Yeah.
You're telling me now that the UK, Switzerland, Italy, Germany have all got confirmed cases of coronavirus, but for some fucking reason, we're protected.
We're protected.
It's a fucking joke. If Switzerland has a confirmed case of coronavirus, we will 1,000% get coronavirus in this country.
You know, this comes from the government that said we should just wait for the locusts to grow old and die, yeah, because they're gonna die.
And here's the worst part about the whole thing, Amina. If coronavirus doesn't make it into Kenya, they will pat themselves on the back. They'll be fucking wanking over their own fucking news bulletins that coronavirus did not hit Kenya, blah, 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 blah. And then what will happen? They'll take credit for a stroke of fucking good fortune and luck. You know what I mean? That's what's going to happen.
I feel like we're not taking it as seriously. I feel like we think that this is something that's going to just blow over. For example, like, so you're dating someone and they're violent or they're abusive in, you know, one way or another. People always tell you, but Fareed, why don't you walk away from the situation? What are you doing? Why are you still there? So even for us, I mean, if the government or all these headlines keep, you know, making rounds and every other day, the headline today is worse than the one yesterday and every single story is so shocking. And then we, again, just talk about it for a week and then we move on. Are we not angry enough? Do they feel like, because what gives them the power, the confidence to feel like they could just do anything? They're our employees. We're the ones paying them.
Yeah, but that's not how this government functions. They don't function like our employees. I feel like we're fucking working for them. You know what I mean?
Is it that we don't understand our rights?
It's not that we don't make noise. Kenyans on Twitter is a global phenomenon. People talk about Kenyans on Twitter all over the world. So it's not that we don't make noise. What it is that we tend to get over things too quick. And maybe it's because every day some more, even more fucked up shit happens.
Yeah.
That we forget that, you know, Sonko stole, you know, 1,000 billion shillings or whatever the fucking case is. Mm-hmm. Or that, I mean, we don't even talk about Evans Kidero anymore. We don't talk about Rotich. We don't talk about it. So we've stopped talking about them. Tomorrow, it won't be about coronavirus.
It's not. It's going to be about this terror attack that we were talking about the other day.
And speaking of that terror attack, security has now been heightened in Nairobi as the U.S. warns of imminent terror attack. That came in on the 27th of February at 7:42 p.m. on the Capital FM website. I think we broke the news, actually. Security has been heightened in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, following a warning issued by the U.S. Embassy. The terrorists are planning to hit a major hotel popular with tourists, okay? Now, I don't like these very sort of general sort of warnings.
Yeah.
Because if you're a hotel in a city, in any city in the world, chances are you're popular with tourists.
That is true. That's
what hotels are for.
Yes.
Right?
Therefore,
it could be a hotel on fucking Koinange Street.
Yeah, here in town. It could be in Westlands. It could be even in Mombasa.
Right.
Yeah.
So that frightens me. That's one. So that's anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. That's anywhere, right? Number two, my mom has a shop at one of the most, one of the biggest
visited malls
by the expatriate community.
Yes.
Where hotels that are visited by the expatriate community are also present. Two of them, in fact, right? This frightens me on a personal level. So I have to constantly tell my mum when this stuff happens. She's very resilient, very stubborn. I mean, she kicked cancer in the fucking face. You know
nice,
what I mean? So
yeah.
She's quite stubborn not to go to work. This is what I mean. If there is a, let's just assume, and I'm not a doomsday advocate, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Let's assume there's a terrorist attack today.
Okay.
We will no longer be talking about coronavirus tomorrow. That story is dead and buried.
But you know why we will still talk about coronavirus? Because of all of these cases that keep sprouting
up. No. The next Chinese plane that lands, we'll talk about it again.
Oh, you're saying, yeah, until
but for the
now.
Next 1 week, 2 weeks, three
this
weeks.
This is all we're going to focus on. You're absolutely right. So like you said, every mall, every because a lot of malls have hotels. Every hotel is going to think, are they coming here? So everyone now starts, you know, panicking. Security is heightened. Da-da-da-da-da-da. They, for me, I felt like we just, let's just chill with these forwards because you have not sent me anything. You're just I feel like they create tension
there
more than.
There are people in this world who love to be the holders of information. I have friends who want to be the one with the information about the couple that's breaking up.
That's true, yeah.
You know,
about what's happening. And they want to be the one in the know. And they have all the details as if they were there. Even other than that, people only want to share the negative parts of the information, though.
It's such bullshit,
you know, so
though,
people,
right?
Even with the country and even with the terrorist story that I'm telling you about, almost nobody forwards all these great stories about Kenya. We were talking about Alela, who's this innovative, creative genius who's come up with something that's going to change the lives of deaf people around the world. And instead of, you know, forwarding those stories, we only want to focus on the negatives.
Yeah.
Wanuri said that she doesn't want to hear negative stories about Africa. She doesn't want to talk about how we have corruption or how we're in the midst of some imaginable war. You know, in the West, they think it's just hunger, poverty, and
running
war
around with
in
our
Africa.
Cocks out and our, you know, tits out, throwing
and,
spears at each other. You
know,
like,
what
I mean?
And we have, like, you know, the flies coming into your mouth and your nose because you have mucus running down. That's the picture that they have, and I feel like we also play with that narrative so much that we give them more content only on that. America has people who are shooting left, right, and center every day, but you still want to go there.
Thank you. Thank you. No one says, no one's put a travel. Was there ever, has anyone here, has any government official here put a travel warning, don't fly to America?
No. Nope.
And don't go to a fucking church or a synagogue or a mosque because you're going to get shot up by some fucking redneck who didn't have friends in high school because his cock was too small in gym class and so everyone saw it. You know what I mean? This is the reason. Then they don't call it terrorism. You know, they it's for them, it's something different. You know what I mean? Because it's a white person fucking committing the crime, it's not terrorism.
It is.
But if you look like me and walk into a fucking synagogue and start shooting people, it was fucking racially led. It was, you know, you know, Palestinian sort of sentiment, you know.
Yeah, so it talks about the war. It just goes back to the Iraq, Iran, you know. So I'm looking at this. So Australia imposed its China travel ban on the 1st of Feb. There were 7,000 confirmed cases at the time.
Jesus Christ.
Now, 3 weeks on. No, that was 3 weeks on. It's 3 weeks on now, yeah.
Yeah,
there are 64,000 confirmed cases.
So in a month.
With 2,500 deaths.
You've added 57,000 cases.
Mm. And even South Korea locked down its fourth largest city in an effort to contain the first major coronavirus outbreak outside China. Italy, Japan, Singapore, Iran are also facing concerns. Airport-style symptom-based screening seems to be ineffective for detecting the disease. So we can't say that when they landed, we screened them and then told them to self-quarantine. This is such a huge number.
It's a joke. If I'm a Chinese national, I'm here for a holiday for 2 weeks, and you're telling me I'm going to stay in my house for 14 days?
Even
fuck that. I don't feel
holiday,
sick. I'm going out.
Think about it this way. Even other than the holiday, just you coming to a foreign country, you had plans. You came there. You had intentions of doing things. You cannot sit with no one. No one's there to guard you. No one's there calling in, making sure that you're actually in the house. Of course you're going to leave after maybe even a day, even the same day. Maybe they left the airport and just went straight to wherever it is that they were going.
Like
they were coming to town for a meeting.
They're
like, yeah. I'll do that. And I was telling you that Kenya, even just here in Nairobi, we're very overcrowded in so many different places. So just imagine if a conductor in a matatu, you know, is infected. Or
Jesus
if some
Christ,
lady
man.
Selling tomatoes in a market,
Jesus
you know.
Christ.
If someone here downtown, someone here, even just when you walk outside Londra House, there, you know, there's a number of people.
And how many people do you brush up against it a day, man?
Think about it. And you know, with the coronavirus, you are, you know, when you touch a contaminated surface, when you shake their hand, when you don't, you can, when you look at someone, you could probably get it, you know.
Should we do a bit of fact or fiction on coronavirus? Okay, I'll ask you, I'll throw a couple of questions your way. You can tell me if it's fact or fiction. You guess. And so, fact, having facial hair will make you more predisposed to coronavirus because it makes surgical masks less effective.
You started with saying fact.
No, it's fiction, actually. Sorry. It is. There were tons of reports going around the other day saying that the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control, had put out a warning about how your facial hair might put you at risk of catching coronavirus, but it's for people who need to use masks or respirators at work, and it's a couple of years old, okay? Fact or fiction, wearing a mask won't do too much to protect you from the coronavirus?
Mm-hmm. That is true.
That is true. Wash your hands, cover your cough, take care of yourself, basically, is the only advice the Center of Disease Control can give you. Sales of Corona have gone up 23% since the stories of the coronavirus started hitting the news. That's Corona beer.
Yeah.
It's actually fiction.
Has it really?
Survey found people actually less likely to buy Corona beer now than any time in the last 2 years. Back when people started hearing about coronavirus, there was a big spike in Google searches to find out if it was connected to Corona beer because people are stupid. Fact or fiction? Coronavirus could cause Diet Coke shortages.
Can you imagine?
It's a fact.
Yeah, it is a fact. And, you know, China's ranking among Coca-Cola's biggest markets in the world.
And also a source for sweeteners as well.
Oh, yeah. So definitely they're going to...
The signature trademark of coronavirus is explosive diarrhea. Fact or fiction? The signature trademark of the coronavirus is explosive diarrhea.
Fiction.
Totally fiction.
Oh, gosh.
Diarrhea is not listed as a main symptom. And finally, you can catch coronavirus from someone's flatulence. Someone farts.
No!
Fact. Health officials...
Health officials
in Beijing have confirmed it. Fortunately, it's not very likely. You'd need to get a good close sniff and then have to be naked from the waist down.
Stop.
I swear.
All right, so now we're going to move on to something that... Kenyans on social media are very... I don't know if you've noticed, but I feel like people overshare online. They just need to chill. So it's getting too much. So the other day I'm watching this video, and so this she's an artist. She's a very big artist. She's called Janae Aiko. And so she gave Big Sean, who they have an on and off relationship, they've had it for years. So she showed him, like, there was this piece of paper. He was opening it and she recorded the video. And when she opened it up, it said, "Can I suck?" And I felt like that was Is that something we should know about?
She sent it to him.
No, it was a paper. So she's with him, and like it's a piece of paper. She wrote it on a piece of paper.
Oh,
so
she
he's
wrote
picking
it,
it
okay,
up.
Right.
He's opening up the paper. She's recording the video, and he opened it up and it said, "Can I suck?" And I'm just like, that's. I don't know.
Too much sharing.
Yeah.
What is okay, in your opinion, because I'm just getting into this social media game, as you know.
Yeah.
And Amelia, you've really helped me to sort of sort out my
Amelia,
Instagram.
Let me tell you, Fareed's social media was so shit. I did it so that people don't think we know each other and that he is that bad online. His feed had the same picture in like just different angles, but like the same picture. And now he's switching it up, which is great.
Yeah, yeah, and having fun with it as well. But I mean, I sometimes don't know if I share too much or if it's, you know, I sometimes have videos that I've taken. I'm like, do I really want to post that?
I actually go through that.
You know what I mean?
Once I download the video, I might never post it again. Because you keep questioning, you ask until you get.
So you do that as well.
Then you say it's so old. You're like, what am I doing? Why would I post this video? Let me just not post this one.
So you do that as well.
Yeah, all the time. What do you mean? I never. Once you take the picture or the video, then you think, it's already. Social media has this thing where, and I was a friend of mine was one telling me that it's live. So you have to post it while live. And if you're listening and you have a business or you're an individual who does have an account and you want to sort of make money using your page, you have to be very, very active. So you have to start posting those pictures and those videos as the event, as whatever it is that you're doing. So
have you ever taken kind of like a really sort of like sexy pose and then just been like, and I like, I, okay, I've got like a bunch on my phone, yeah, right, that I think I look fucking great.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like,
I know, I have so many. And
so abs are kind of popping a bit and I'm like, damn, dude.
There were
like,
two
there are four now. Okay. And I'm like, should I post that? And then I'm like, but I don't want people to be like, bro, like, what the fuck's going on, you know?
I
like,
think that's the problem.
You used
that
to be a fucking man, and now you're fucking showing your fucking upper pubic area. Like, it's not,
you're showing
it's
your
not
nipples
normal,
on,
you know what I mean?
On social media. There, it's a very tricky place to be for you, but a lot of your friends are older, right? So they don't necessarily need social media. They, like, do
no,
other...
No, they're voyeurs. They watch, but they don't really participate.
Because they don't need it. If you think about it, they don't need it.
Yeah,
like your
true.
Friends, you know, so they're following you and they're just like, why is Reid? And you post what you had for breakfast. You posted that you were here. Then you posted what you were having for lunch and where you were at lunch.
And then I just,
in the boxes
think,
or like
I think
in train.
You guys call it a thirst trap.
Yes, it's a
right?
thirst
trap. So maybe like,
trap.
Like just the beginning of like the area. I would never.
What about like on pants?
My
like
mom
you
is
wear
on
pants.
Instagram. Dude.
She's on Instagram.
Yeah. Sometimes I just see her post like, well done, awesome, great son. You
no,
know?
Stop.
Yeah.
You have to block your mom.
Like, nice cock.
You
know? I made that.
I take all the credit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, she's the one just like tagging other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like, add so-and-so.
Yeah,
add
yeah.
So-and-so,
add to her
so-and-so.
Story. I'm like, mom, what are you doing? You
know? Oh, my God. She's like.
Great thirst trap, son. You know, she doesn't know what it means. But
she's just like, she likes it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, but there are parents who are over-supportive like that. Like, no matter what it is that you do,
my mom,
jumping
dude.
On.
My mom, like my mom on, okay, so she's just got into Instagram. On Twitter, she's a fucking mess, dude. Everything I post, she's like, great,
she tweets it.
Wonderful. Nah,
and you want to
like,
tell us,
I just contracted coronavirus. Good,
good.
Work.
I knew my son would be the first one to,
you know what I mean?
To be infected.
Yeah.
He's always number one.
So I don't know if I'd have to block her
yeah.
if I was going to show my fucking dick on any part of my dick on social media.
It's not that big at any part.
No, but you know what I mean, though? Like, my mom cannot. I cannot have my mom.
I don't know
why
I'm saying it's not that big. Like, I know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Good God. I don't know.
No, but you've heard.
No. Way. Let's go back to social media. So when Dwayne Wade, you know, was talking about Zaya, his daughter now, there were so many rappers who came out and they were like, listen, you can't just encourage your kids to do what it is that they want.
But can
at
you not?
12 years old.
Can you not? I mean, aren't you allowed to have... I have two trains of thought on the Dwayne Wade situation. So maybe just tell us the story first, Amina,
all
and
right.
just recap the story of the Dwayne Wade, the Ellen interview and all that.
Okay.
We'll play that clip from Ellen here.
Yes, we will. And you'll take a listen to it now.
There are so many parents that are just, oh, you're not going the way I imagined or wanted you to be and freak out. And you're so loving and supportive of Zaya and what a special child she is.
Yes, she is. She is. Thank you so much for that. First of all, me and my wife, Gabrielle, Ewan, we are proud, when I say proud, we are proud parents of a child in the LGBTQ+ community. And we're proud allies as well. And we take our roles and our responsibility as parents very seriously. So when our child comes home with a question. When a child comes home with an issue, when a child comes home with anything, it's our job as parents to listen to that, to give them the best information that we can, the best feedback that we can. And that doesn't change because sexuality is now involved in it. So once Zaya, our 12-year-old, came home, and first Zion, everybody, I don't know if everyone knows, originally named Zion, Zion born as a boy, came home and said, hey, so I want to talk to you guys. You know, I think going forward, I'm ready to live my truth. And I want to be a reference that she and her, I would love for you guys to call me Zaya. And so internally, now is our job to, one, go out and get information, to reach out to every relationship that we have. My wife reached out to everybody on the cast of Pose. We're just trying to figure out as much information we can to make sure that we give our child the best opportunity to be.
So here are my problems.
Okay.
She doesn't know her fucking gender since she, or he or she or they or it or whatever. Doesn't know its gender at three. It does not. I'm sorry. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a fucking biologist. I don't understand the human brain.
You're just a dad.
I'm not a psychologist, but I'm a dad. And I'm telling you right now, my kid doesn't even know he's got a penis and he's seven. You know what I mean? Or what it's for. So he doesn't, that kid didn't know at three.
Yeah.
I think that for me, I understand the rappers who have come out to say that, dude, come on, man. Seriously, this kid is how old? 12?
So 50 Cent came out and posted a really funny, mean meme. Boosie came out, talked about it. YG came out and talked about it. So I just like, I don't know how I feel about this.
But how old is the kid? How old 12. Is Zaya? So 12 years old.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think at 12 years old, you may be able to say, you know what, I don't resonate with being a man, a boy, or I don't resonate with being a girl. Understandable. I think it's fucking awesome that Dwayne Wade has this kind of support for his kid. I hope one day, maybe not in this particular arena of sexual orientation or what gender they want to be, but I hope one day I can be that supportive of my kid, whatever he chooses to do with his life.
I know, because you're just like, I would just tell them no if I don't approve of this thing.
Right. Now, yeah. We talked about it on air and you asked me what would I do, and I was very honest by saying, I don't know.
We both don't know. We both don't know because we live in a very different world now, and you know, things are different, and we are, it's an environment that's very receptive to, you know, different types of sexual orientations. So if you are gay or transgender or bisexual or any of what the LGBTQIA stands for, it's a very good time to be alive in different parts of the world.
Sure.
Good time to be alive. And as we're opening up this conversation, I appreciate that Dwayne Wade, being the massive, huge global star that he is, to back his daughter, because then that's, you know, not really inspires, but it really puts that challenge out to everyone else, to other parents. You're not on a national stage, an international stage. The whole world has an opinion on Dwayne Wade now, you know, so you can imagine what he had to go through before he came out with this story. But we just live in very different times now. We have to think about what your kids want, because now they have rights as well. And you are more, you know, conversational with your kids than we were with our parents.
Plus,
right?
If you look at it this way, maybe there's another fear to this, as you're saying. Mm. So he tells his son, Zion,
yes,
fuck you. You're not going to be a girl. You're a fucking boy.
Get it together.
If you want to be gay, be gay. But you're not turning into a girl. He turns 18, goes onto national television or global television or social media and says, at 12 years old, I tried to do this and my dad said no. Then Dwayne Wade is now an enemy of another community, which is the LG fucking whatever,
yes,
fucking whatever community
it
is. So you're right. With so much access to information, so many platforms put information out, that kid could have been told no by his dad. You cannot be a girl. You're a boy, for fuck's sakes. You know what I mean? And he goes on social media and says, today I had a conversation
with
my dad.
And
I told him
said,
this. And this is exactly what he said to me.
Oh my God.
Right? Dwayne Wade becomes an enemy, a monster.
Yeah. And immediately too. And then you get canceled, which is what people say today. But like I was saying, you know, we have to factor in that the world has changed. I mean, we've always had homosexuals. We just never knew who they were, or this person is, you know, is gay, or this person is gay. But now, you know, they're coming out more because people are now more confident in living in their own skin. So when you start thinking about how you're going to say no, it's just so confusing, because you don't, like you said, you don't want them to grow up at 8, because they're still going to do it. You understand? Like if someone
just
is
turn 18, you do your thing.
No, but if some of them run away, some of them kill themselves. So it's such
this
a tricky situation.
Problem, right?
Because you love your child, you want to support them, but you've lived in this society that, you know, the norm is a man and a woman, and you've built your reputation around this. You've, you know, like in this society, and then now for you to switch, it's so difficult, especially for men, because you talk about how you're, you know, your fellow guys are going to look at you, how are you going to talk to them? You know, people are so mean.
Let me tell you, if I told my dad, look, I'm pretty tolerant of most things, you know, and I have friends my age and my generation who have much less tolerance than I do. You know what I mean? I don't see color. I don't see gender. I don't see sexual preference. I don't care. I know who I am. I know my truth. But, you know, if I told my dad at the age of, say, 15 to maybe 18 or 19 that I was gay, he would have slapped the gay out of me.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Let me tell
you. Or at least try to.
In our family, they would have prayed it out of you. They would have prayed. They would have called the imams, the sheikhs, sorry.
You couldn't be gay in Iraq, I'll tell you that.
Museveni.
You have your cock whipped.
They're going to use your cock to whip other people.
Yeah.
Like they're
just across the face. Bulls and all, you know?
Oh my God. A lot of parents are, you know, first you struggle to understand what homosexuality is, right? And so I was speaking to, I went to this, you know, conference and there were a lot of women there. And so at some point we were talking about, you know, some lady asked, you know, I have a son and sometimes I'm so scared that if I expose him to a lot of like feminine cartoons or like anything pink or anything like I don't want him to even have the thought because they feel like there is something in your childhood that can encourage you or sort of push you towards that direction.
Well, my uncle used to play with handbags and paint my grandmother's toenails.
But kids used to do that though.
Yeah, but could that be a contributing factor to turning out to being a homosexual?
But I'm telling you right now, if you see your son playing with polish and with heels, you're not going to think it's
cute. Slap the gay out of him.
You're not going to think it's cute or funny. You're going to think you're like, is he trying to tell me something? And kids used to do this all
the
time.
That's so interesting. So as we move on, as social media starts sort of bombarding our lives, the exposure that the young ones get happens so much earlier.
Yeah.
So I would be afraid my 8-year-old playing with a handbag maybe 30 years ago, you'd be like, hey, he's just playing with a fucking handbag.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fine. He's a man. He's a boy. Now when they're playing with handbags, you'd be like, wait, are you...
What are you
doing? Do you
want
to have a talk?
You know?
You got a boyfriend?
What's that?
You like cock?
Is that why you like bananas?
Yeah,
like,
is that why you eat them so slowly, son?
And carrots? They're just all coming back to you.
Yeah.
And you start thinking about all these things and your mind goes on overdrive, but he is just playing with handbags. So you can see like the parents are now just like, no, I want you to play football and basketball and join the gym at 7 years old.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, just join rugby, do a haka in the morning.
It's interesting how the social media has kind of affected and fucked up our world.
Yeah,
in all aspects, social media has made the coronavirus much bigger than it actually is. Imagine if this happened 30 years ago. Would we be talking about it as much as we are right now?
We already brought in so many people. We don't care in Kenya. We don't care.
Well, we don't care. Terrorism, you know, the threat of terrorism spreads so quickly. You know, I mean, I'm sure we're not the only country in the world right now that has a terror alert somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And of course, now social media, things like Dwayne Wade's story, I just find, because I think really, as we touched on before, as we end our first ever podcast here, as we touched on before, maybe Dwayne Wade was so accepting because he was afraid of the backlash if his daughter/son decided to go to social media and say, my dad won't let me be who I want to be.
But how, I mean, I encourage everyone to be themselves. I just don't know at 12 if...
I just don't want my son to transition.
And we were talking about this randomly before we even finished. We were talking about how they know, is it a genetic thing? Is it an environmental thing? What is it, you know? And so then the few gay people I sort of asked, they said, the one of them said that he just always felt he just didn't connect with girls, one of them. And then the other two said that they both on different times sort of like tried it when they were high. And then they loved it because they say that the G-spot of a man is in the anus.
I think that's a great place to end this podcast. What do you think?
The anus?
Yeah.
As a last word.
The male G-spot is in the anus.
Is it though?
Is in the
let
man
me just
pussy.
Look for it. Let me, no, but let me look. Wait.